Charlie and the team had walked in total silence for over an hour now, probing and evaluating everything they saw. But they had uncovered nothing of interest, and Charlie now raised a hand, signalling for the team to halt.
Let's take five. You've all got water and cereal bars. For those of you who need a loo break, there's plenty of bushes around.
Turning away from her colleagues, she took a step deeper into the forest. The others were grateful for the rest, but Charlie didn't feel like small talk. The truth was, she felt indescribably anxious. He looks up as I drop a bill into his case, squinting at me, and gives me a quiet,
"Thanks very much."
His accent is heavily Irish, and the sound of it makes my fingers tingle. So instead of saying, "Yeah," or "Sure," or "Nothing at all," like any other New Yorker would, I blurt,
"I love your music so much."
A string of words said breathlessly as one. The whole house shook and the windows rattled violently. Gadget Man was at it again! Beans threw herself down onto the kitchen floor, only just in time, too. A small red and yellow doobry watsit whizzed through the open kitchen window and shot over her head, before veering left to crash into a box of cornflakes. Beans shook her head as she got to her feet. Dad's workroom was at the bottom of the garden, but there were times when the bottom of the garden wasn't far enough away.
"But I don't want anybody to kiss me, sir,"
she implored, a big tear beginning to roll down her face and the corners of her mouth trembling in her attempts not to cry.
"And I wouldn't have come if I'd have known."
D'Urberville gave her the kiss of mastery. No sooner had he done so than she flushed with shame, took out a handkerchief and wiped the spot on her cheek that had been touched by his lips. His ardour was nettled at the sight, for the act of her part had been unconsciously done.